Are you ready to uncover hindrances blocking your dreams? Welcome to Reveal the Diamond Within podcast. I'm your host, author, and national pageant winner, Joanna Harabedian. Through thought-provoking interviews, inspiring stories, and teachings, we help you shine in the four pillars of strength for emotional, spiritual, physical, and financial breakthrough. It's time to step into your God-given greatness. It's your time to shine. I want to welcome you to Reveal the Diamond Within. I'm your host, Joanna Harabedian, and today we have a very special guest joining us. He has an incredible story. He's an author, he is an international speaker, and he is an artist. And I want you to make note of that, the artist part, because the story is going to blow you away when you hear that he's an artist. And so I want to welcome Dr. Johannes Christian. Welcome to Reveal the Diamond Within podcast. We're so honored to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's truly an honor to have this opportunity. And we're praying that God will use this show in a tremendous way.
Amen. So Dr. Johannes, I want you to share the highlights of your story and what happened.
In 2001, on a hot July night, I was traveling from Peoria, Illinois to Columbus, Ohio, when a young boy was up on top of a bridge on the interstate I-70, and he dropped an 8-pound rock off the side of the bridge that came through the windshield of my car and totally took off my face.
Wow.
I smashed literally every bone in my head, from the upper part of my head all the way to the middle of my mouth. And the doctors told me that the bones were like sawdust as they were trying to work on me. As a result, I lost both of my eyes and my nose, and 40 surgeries they took to put my face back together with skin grafts and a lot of other plastic surgeries. And we thank God that they tell me that the doctors also made me look like Denzel Washington.
Well, you look amazing. Wow, 40 surgeries. Tell us a little bit about this process. I can't imagine having my face shattered by a kid who decides to throw a rock off of a bridge. Tell us a little bit about this process. I mean, how did your family respond?
Well, needless to say, it was just a horrifying experience to go through. There was just literally a hole in the center of my head. And my family was just devastated. I have 5 children. At that time, they were just in their early 20s. And one was in Bible college, my youngest one. And the others had just finished college. And of course, they were just devastated. Their father, who'd been a preacher all their lives, they couldn't understand how God could let something like this happen, you know, to a man of God. And of course, they thought I was like Superman, and they didn't think anything could ever happen to me. But in the midst, God held our family together. One of the things that struck out to me that after my kids all got to the hospital within a record-breaking time from Denver, Colorado, and Illinois to Ohio was quite a feat, but they were there, you know, within hours. And my children made a ring around my bed, and they just began to sing and pray in between the doctors rushing me back and forth to surgery. So from the beginning, I think God was in the midst and helping us to figure out how to give him glory for this situation.
That's unbelievable. I mean, I know our audience listening, you know, no one isn't free of any kind of trauma. And how did you manage to be able to get to a place of forgiveness? What was that process like? I mean, here your life is ruined. You're going through, you know, these awful surgeries, 40 of them, no less. And I mean, tell us about how you walked through that with your family.
You know, I'm so glad you asked. It really was quite a difficult time, obviously, in my life. You know, I was just confused. I didn't know what had happened. And it really took several days into the recuperation period for me to understand that the bridge hadn't fallen down, but someone had dropped a rock, and then trying to process how someone could beyond a bridge trying to kill somebody that they didn't know. And, I was seeking God in the midst of, obviously, the anger that I was feeling, because I think natural response is, flight and run in anger. And but yet, in the midst, God kept dealing with me over these days of, how he wanted me really to respond. Even though I wasn't comprehending it, the Holy Spirit was ministering in my mind. And during that process, I kept hearing God say, "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses." And as that scripture kept coming to my mind, I was trying to push it out of my mind, but God kept revealing that that somewhere in the midst of this, there needed to be the attitude of forgiveness. And I remember when I started speaking that to my children, they couldn't process it. They were, "Daddy, it's a little too soon for this. We just tried to come to grips with the fact that you're still alive."
Right.
But God was
that alone is a miracle. I mean, that you had a hole in your head from that rock. I mean, my God, I just can't imagine. I mean, and your kids must have been in shock as well.
Oh, they were totally devastated. And not only my children, but I had, four siblings that were close to me at the time in Columbus, and one who was still in New York. And they were devastated. My poor mother, she was a trooper. She had been an evangelist early in life, and they were bringing her back and forth to the hospital, and Mom would just come in the room, and it would just be such an anointing on her. She grabbed my hand and sit next to the side of the bed, and all she would do is just pat me on the wrist and say, "Everything is going to be all right," and that was the most comforting. And of course, I had pastors, from across the country flying in to pray with me. Bishop Larry Trotter, Sweet Holy Spirit Church in Chicago, and many others, Dr. Sheldon Williams, Co-op City Baptist Church in the Bronx. They were just all flying in and having words of prayer with my family. We were so undergirded by men of God.
Wow, that's amazing. God brought the angels to support and surround you guys.
Yes.
Now, yes. What happened with this kid?
The police in Springfield, Ohio, they began almost to do a door-by-door search for the young boy. There were two other kids on the bridge with him. One was a cousin, and another was a close friend. And, of course, when this got blown up on the television and when it happened, the young kids that were with him talked to their parents and let them know that they weren't a part of it. They were there, but Jacob threw the rock. And Jacob's parents, within a day or so, had him brought to the police station and surrender his own self. So, they could stop the search. And they began to put him in jail from that day. And he was treated as an adult and ended up going to an adult prison. But before he went to prison, I had an opportunity to be in the courtroom when they were arraigning him. And God gave me the opportunity to let him know that the Spirit of God was really leading me to forgive him, and that I didn't hold any remorse. I really wanted him to take the time that he was going to have in prison and to really allow God to use that to develop his life in a special way. And I'm so glad to let you know that over the course of the time that he was in prison, some 13 years, that he came to know Jesus. And after a time of preparation, God allowed me to go to the prison and meet with him for an 8-hour period of time. And what an experience that was.
Wow. So tell us what that was like. So here God gives you the grace to forgive him. You make that choice, regardless of what the feelings were, because, there's obviously a huge cauldron of emotions. So now you forgive him and now you're in prison. So with him face to face. So tell us, what was that like?
It was the most unreal situation, to be sitting across from someone who, just before he threw the rock, had told his friends that he was out there trying to kill someone. And obviously, a stranger came down the road and he just about killed me. And to have the opportunity to sit across from him in a prison room and talk to him was just so surreal. I wanted God to really get the glory from that moment, but still there were so many emotions going through my body.
What did you say to him when you first sat across from him?
I think I was just trying to make sure that my anger wouldn't get displaced, it wouldn't pop back up, but that I could truly be a vessel that God was using.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the Holy Spirit was allowing me to show love in the midst of the situation and to extend the same grace and mercy that God extended to me in my life.
You know, that's a, that. Let's pause on that for a moment, Dr. Johannes. This is a what I call a diamond moment, because I know there's so many stories where, you know, the victims or the victim's family, they've had an opportunity to come face to face with the perpetrator, and it did not go this way. That in fact, it was, you know, the opposite, where I will not forgive you. You did this, and you know, it's very, you know, very difficult. And so here you're face to face with the person who did this to you, and God gives you that grace to forgive him. And this is what I really want to touch upon, is that God, what you just said, God, you forgave him the way God has forgiven you. And
I think that's so paramount, that at some point we have to come to the realization that we've nothing to give anybody else. We merely need to look at what God has done for us. And during the process of preparing me for coming into the prison, God had revealed to me in my questioning with him so many opportunities where he had forgiven me and extended grace for things that I had done that even nobody else would have even known about. But yet God had forgiven me. And so he was preparing me to bestow to someone else that same measure of grace that he had given me to someone else. And that was, it was just hard for me to even comprehend until it actually happened. You know, because Jacob was saying, no, I don't deserve your forgiveness. I'm too bad. And this was horrific for me to have done. And God was saying through me, It is that, but I want you to know that the God I serve requires me to give you this measure of grace.
Wow, that is so profound. So here you have a young man, he's 15 years old, facing the consequences and really the reality of what he's done, because the reality is sitting in front of him. Is this is not just a face he can't see, hear, or touch. This is right in front of him. And now he's having to come to terms and grips with what he's done, and understanding that it's horrific what he's done, and how can he forgive himself? I want to encourage you to get Dr. Johannes's book. It's called The Face of Forgiveness. As we're talking about forgiveness in this broadcast, I know so many of us, whether it's a little trauma or a big trauma that we've experienced that we're talking about right now, we have to get to that place where we can let go. And so
that was the important thing for me, was not only did I want him to understand that I forgave him, but I knew the importance of him being able to forgive himself. Because
right.
the most of the time, a perpetrator, you know, will continue to beat themselves in the head and think that they're the most unforgivable person in the world, and that they should be punished and punished and punished. But God's grace says to us that Jesus took upon himself our punishment, so that we don't have to continue to beat ourselves in the head. I needed him to understand that the law may require him to be in prison, but God was freeing him enough to be able to be a vessel that somehow God could hone the goodness in him to be able to be a different person.
Right. You know, and that is the grace of God. So if you're listening today, and maybe you're the one that has been a perpetrator of some kind, and you're struggling with, I can't forgive myself for what I did, And you need to hear this message today that, you know, when we repent, and repent means to change our mind, that, and you have turned from those ways, those behaviors, those wicked things. And God says, I forgive you. Now, if he forgives you, then it's time to forgive yourself. And forgiveness means letting go. So whether you're on one side of the coin of being the victim, or you're the other side of the coin of being the perpetrator, forgiveness is letting go. And so it swings both ways.
Yeah. You know, two things, Sister Joanna, I'd like to point out, that the whole process of forgiveness over a period of time, and I don't want anybody to think this just happened, you know, click overnight, but this was a process. It was a process not only for me, but for my five children and my siblings and for my church congregation and for the national conventions that I was a part of. And you know, during that process, God revealed, you know, I didn't want my children to go to hell because of unforgiveness for what this young boy had done to their dad.
Right.
Because naturally, there was a response inside of them that was, you know, what can we do? How can we get back at him? You know, if I could just, you know, expletive, 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 you know, would be what my children and my nephews and nieces were thinking. And I had been dealing with youth from a second chance program that I ran for the state of Ohio. And those guys were, you know, ready to go to the prison. And I was like, no, no, no. You know, this isn't where we're at. But I wanted others to feel that same merit of grace and forgiveness.
Right.
So that they could let go. And shortly after, like at Thanksgiving, I think it was, this had happened in July, but at Thanksgiving, when I was with my family, one of my little grandchildren, during our family prayer, was able to say, and God forgive Jacob who threw the rock at Pawpaw. And when I heard that, it was just a touch of grace for me.
Wow, that's so powerful. Out of the mouths of babes.
Yes.
And I like what you just said. You know, the forgiveness obviously didn't just happen. And so if you're listening today, you know, you're in that process, you're on that path, and it's no accident that you're listening to this podcast today. And it does take time. You know, it just doesn't happen overnight, because we have to process through, you know, those natural feelings of revenge and wanting to get even, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. And, you know, and it's okay to have that anger. You know, we just don't want to act out in that anger. But, you know, Jesus was angry when, you know, he turned over the tables, you know, when they were. You're right. Yeah. So that's a part of the process. It's natural, you know.
So often, Sister Joanna, people say, oh, forgive and forget, just forgive and forget. But I don't find that in the word. God doesn't tell us that. Human nature will tell you that I will never forget the experience. I mean, it you know, when I go to shave, you know, and I've got the razor in my hand and I'm standing in front of a mirror, it's hard. Yep. How can I not remember? I don't have eyes to see this experience, you know, and I've still got to do it. But in the midst of what even we remember, God still is giving us the grace to love beyond measure.
That's huge. That's huge. It's a whole other level. And then when you think about, you know, what the Lord did for us on the cross.
Amen.
He endured the beating, the bloody, brutal beating. He endured all of that for all of us. Because I know as humans, you know, when we have these things, these traumas that happen, big or small, you know, it could be a little trauma, and a little trauma is just as damaging as a big trauma. Then it's, of course, it's easy to forget what Jesus actually did on the cross and what he endured. He was mutilated for us, for you, for me, for our brothers and sisters who are listening. And so your story is like really encapsulates, it's like a living picture of that, of what Jesus did on the cross in terms of how you've been able to have that grace and get to that place to forgive him. You know, like you said, when you try to go to shave, it's you can't forget what's happened. You can't see. You don't have real eyes, you know, you can't drive. And so it's in your face every day. And so coming to that places that you have now is extraordinary. And I think so encouraging to hear and hopeful for those who are in the midst of that place right now where they can't forgive or they can't forgive themselves.
I just want to pick up on what you just said, Sister Joanna, because I think it's so important. You know, I went from a moment of devastation. You know, I've lost my sight. How am I going to live? How am I going to, what, you know, how do I feed myself? How do I figure out what to wear? You know, but in this process, you know, I'm now, even as we speak, thousands of miles away from you in the Caribbean, doing this broadcast way away from my own family. And folks say, how do you get there? How do you fly on a plane by yourself? How do you go to a different city? How do you go to different countries and share the word of God? But it's nothing but his grace that I've learned how to adapt with all the technology on my iPhones and the cell phones and with my computers and how gracious people are to me to extend hands of helping hands to do what I need to get done in life. And how my life has adapted to being able to cook and to be able to, as we'll talk about, even to paint pictures that speak of things that I think are important in life. You know, so I want folks to understand, both as a perpetrator and as a victim, that the Holy Spirit is constantly working to mold us into individuals that will give God glory. The scripture that comes to my mind often is that these things come that the Son of God might be glorified. Not glorified in the rock, but glorified in all that's come as a result of the rock and the many lives that have been changed simply because of that rock experience.
It's, you know, the scripture is so true when it says that God turns all things together for good for those who are called according to his purposes. Now, we don't ever understand how that manifests. And what you just shared, how you have been able to adapt, how you travel by, do you travel by yourself?
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. Now, okay, so this is what's so incredible. This is what I shared in the beginning about the artist portion. And I've seen your work, and your work is, I look at it and it's, wow, it's unbelievable. And like you just said, it gives God the glory that you can do all these things despite, you know, the physical limitation that you have, but there is no limitation in Christ. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So tell us about your art. How did this evolve where you're able to paint as a blind person who can't see it?
Well, that Philippian scripture is my scripture. In fact, the night that the rock was thrown, I had a young, one of my foster sons, Brian, I called him my angel. He was in the car. He was 15, the same age as the kid throwing the rock. Wow. And he had asked me that evening when we were driving, he said, Doc, what's your favorite scripture? And I told him, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And of course, you know, I'm sitting here today and it's still, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because, you know, a year ago, I was challenged by another preacher friend of mine. She's an artist. Her art is called Artifacts, and her name is Khadija Ashe. She challenged me. We're in a conversation, and, you know, I'd always loved art when I was young, and I had to make some real choices, real life choices as to what I was going to do with my life. And I didn't think I could do ministry and paint and do a fashion design all at the same time. So I let go of a lot of things for a long period of time. But I was getting ready to retire, and she said, I bet I could help you to paint. And I was like, yeah, and I could fly a rocket to the moon.
Right. Yeah, I could fly a plane.
You know, she said, no, I really think we can do this. And it took me months before I would listen to really what she said. And we were doing dinner one night together. And I said, well, you know, I'm going to give you an opportunity to show me what I can do. And so we set up a time in a building that I had use of. And that night, I met with her, and through her verbal commands, I was able to allow her verbal commands to guide me to put my thoughts onto canvas. And even though I've never seen my work, the responses that I get from people is that this is truly amazing.
It is truly amazing. And, you know, so inspiring and gives so much hope because, you know, no matter what you've been through, God will make the mess the message. And I want to share with everyone your website so they can go look at your artwork. Mm-hmm. I know you have a show coming up as well. So it's Johannes, JohannesJ, Christian.com. So his website is JohannesJChristian.com. And wow. So tell us about this art show that you're doing.
Well, we have 17 pieces that I have created with the help of two different coaches, because I want to also recognize Karen Venditti. She's an artist in Anguilla in the Caribbean. And we put together 17 pieces of landscapes, inspirational paintings, one abstract that I often laugh about when I talk about the abstract, because I'm the least abstract person in the world, but and some inspirational paintings that we've done, a lot of Caribbean themes, and God has instructed me to raise some money for Mobile Center for Independent Living. It's an agency that deals with people with disabilities. And so we're going to auction off my paintings May 3rd, 4th, and 5th in Columbus, Ohio. It'll be in person and online, so it'll be hybrid. It'll be live streamed from my website that you just gave, johannesjchristian.com. And I'm just excited. Just today, we had 21 people register today alone, just for the attendance, the RSVP, as well as those that want to do bidding on that night. And so I'm just excited about what God is doing.
That's wonderful. Praise the Lord. So let's we're gonna start closing this show out. And so I'd like you to share one. A piece of advice or input for those who are listening right now who are struggling with being able to let go and forgive, and the one who's struggling with being able to forgive themselves.
Oh, I would be so happy. I don't know to give one. Sometimes that's just...
Well, it doesn't have to be one. It can you share your thoughts on that, because they need to hear it today.
Yeah, I think that... I think the thing I'd like to tell people sometimes is just to be real with what we feel. Whether you're the victim or the perpetrator, the trauma has been real in your life. I learned that if I dealt with the trauma, that I could move on with life by God's grace. And by that, I mean, as long as I held in the horrificness of this situation, I was totally paralyzed and couldn't move forward. But through the act of forgiving myself and allowing myself to forgive the perpetrator, I was able to move and be all that God wanted me to be. And Jacob was able to come to find salvation by forgiving himself as well as confessing to Christ.
Right.
And so my hope would be that whoever's listening, and I in no way think that you have to have a trauma as big as mine. Sometimes it's just as simple as someone that you didn't forgive in your family and haven't talked to for years, or someone that you just stopped talking to because you felt like they offended you. But whatever it is, I encourage you to let it go and allow the grace of God to change your life and to change their life.
That's really good. Just let it go. I also liked what you just said about allowing yourself the expression of your feelings. And, you know, if you're in that place right now where you have these feelings that you've been keeping, holding inside, locking them out, just take a minute and just invite Christ into your life right now. Just invite him into your heart and just say, Jesus, come into this pain and I release it to you. And then just release it. So if that means that you have to yell in the car, you know, cry, whatever that emotion is, just be real about it, because it's in that realness, in that pain, and you invite Jesus into that, he's going to heal that, because his word promises that he will bind up the brokenhearted. He will heal your heart. He just wants you to invite him into this place of pain, this place of hurt, so he can bind up that broken heart. And like Dr. Johanna said, so that you can then let it go and then be who God's called you to be. And let this be a stepping stone for you, for the destiny that God has for you, because he doesn't want you shriveled up and locked up in this bitterness, or, you know, the unforgiveness and whatever way that looks like for you. He wants you free of that. And today, you know, those chains, he's going to break these chains off of you. Dr. Johannes, I would love for you to pray right now. And let's pray for our brothers and sister who's listening and really needs this word and touch from the Lord right now.
Oh, I definitely will. And Joanna, I also like to let people know that some of what we're sharing can be found in my book, Face of Forgiveness. It's on Amazon. Face of Forgiveness, it's a memoir. And you can go to Amazon and find that.
But yes, thank you for sharing that. Yes, please make sure to go look at his book, The Face of Forgiveness, on Amazon. You can also go to his website, johannesjchristian.com.
Father God in heaven, we thank you for this magnificent opportunity. We thank you, God, for the hundreds of people that will be listening to this broadcast, those that are hurting, God, those that are looking for an opportunity to figure out how to move forward in their life despite the hardships that they may have experienced as a result of someone else's actions. I pray now, God, that your Holy Spirit would minister and release them, God, from the torment that they feel from unforgiveness. I pray, God, that not only will you release them and break the chains, but God, that your Holy Spirit will come in and fill their lives with your joy and with your peace, and that, God, you give them a new look on life, that, God, you might use them tremendously as a result of finding forgiveness. God, help them to know that forgiveness began on the cross when you came to the earth and you gave up your life, God, that you and your blood would be shed for the forgiveness of our sins. So, God, today I'm praying that you would do the most supernatural thing in the lives of those that are listening today who need you the most. In Jesus' name, we pray, God, your blessing upon this broadcast, upon Sister Johanna. We pray, God, that you'll continue to use her with magnificent stories from people all over the world will come through this ministry to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray today. Amen.
Amen. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come on our broadcast today. This was just so amazing. And for those of you who are listening, please share this with a friend. I know that you know someone who needs to hear this message. So please share this broadcast with them so they can be encouraged. And again, you can go to Dr. Johannes's website. It's johannesjchristian.com. johannesjchristian.com. And we will see you in the next broadcast.
Thank you for listening to Reveal the Diamond Within podcast. If you're blessed by today's message, rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts and subscribe wherever you listen. Help us spread the gospel. Visit me at virtualchurchmedia.com. God bless you, and we'll see you in the next session.